it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, it's a Sunday afternoon at Oriole Park. Nice and hot today, about 91 degrees. Orioles in Tampa Bay about to close out a three-game series. Here today, Tampa Bay will try to sweep the Orioles for the first time since, way back in September of 2013. Buck Showalter and the manager's report right after this.
Let's see. What's new? All-star thing. Chris Davis. If things go well today, we've kind of mapped out a program for him. Got that calendar set up. Checking the weather on Monday with Zach. He could go to Frederick instead of Norfolk. The weather's a lot better in Frederick than they're predicting. And we're going to make a decision on that a little afternoon. We should know that before he leaves here today. And option Asher out for Yakabonis. He's going to go down there and start. Looking forward to putting together a program for Hardy. Not at that point yet. Usually you get a pretty good idea what you're dealing with when they start throwing these oblique guys. That's the first step. If that goes well and he feels okay tomorrow, we can move. We're taking him with us. We have something mapped out during the All-Star break, but get through today and tomorrow. I think tomorrow's as important as today is. What else?
With Hardy, we talked to him in the clubhouse, and he said...
About the rib?
Well, he said that, it's not going to get any worse, so he can play through that. But he also said that there would be no baseball activities during the first homestand after the break. Is that pretty much what you're hearing?
I haven't heard of. I'm sure that's the case, and he's getting it from medical people. That doesn't surprise me. I'm hoping that, we're moving towards something near close by that afterwards. I know the period where they re-examine, they're going to re-image Chris during the All-Star break. I know that, regardless of what stage he's in. What hit me yesterday is I wonder how many players might have something like J.J. have that they just play through. I hear some of the, not rants, but, someone getting on the guys on the DL and the players. There's some different impactful things, I think, too, going on in the game today that may not have been back in their day, my day. I'll probably leave it at that.
With Asher, when at the beginning of the season he gave you guys a lot as a starter and a reliever.
Mm-hmm.
That consistency obviously hasn't been there of late. I mean, what do you think's been different with him, just whole body of work in terms of, him now versus what he was, in that first, what was it, 5-6 weeks or whatever?
Well, I know I have some private thoughts about that, and kind of on the subject, Donnie Hart pitched well last night, and he's pitching better since he got back. And if you notice, we have made a point not to send somebody out that's pitching well. That's how it works. If somebody's pitching well and we need an arm, we're going to figure out a way to keep them. And if you're not pitching particularly, that's how the world's supposed to work, right? And we've done it a couple times with Ash. It's very easy to say kind of going back from starting to relieving, but he's done a good job at both periodically. Lately, it's been a challenge for him.
I just wanted to ask you, just as far as when Britton comes back, seemingly that makes your bullpen stronger and pushes everybody down one. Do you feel like you've seen more from, say, a Givens or even a Castro or a Hart, where you feel better about them because they've had to kind of be tested a little bit more?
Oh, sure. That's a positive that's come out of this is, statistically, if you just want to look at ERA and stuff, you got to include Blyer in that field too. And, it looks like Donnie's getting back on the horse a little bit. I'm hoping to spread the load around. We're still going to need somebody to pitch some length. Blyer's capable of pitching length, but I don't want to take him too far and not have him available the next day. That's why it was important that Donnie get through those innings so I didn't blow up, lose Blyer for today. So, yeah, I do think there's a positive from it, as we've been able, by necessity, to kind of identify some of those guys that might be able to help us. Castro's an interesting guy. There's a lot of things I like about him, but there's a lot of things that remind you that he's 22 years old. Without getting into how he was handled other places, there's some things that we kind of wanted to start over with him. I think he likes it here, and he knows people like him, and he likes the care and the consistency that we've tried to deal with him with. I don't know. I'm not sure if he's had that. And you fail at 19 or 20 in the big leagues your first take. I'm sure you think the whole world's come to an end, but he wants it. He really wants this, and he's willing to do what it takes to try to stay here.
Well, that's the skipper, Buck Showalter, for the Orioles here this afternoon. They could say it's their last chance for glory at Oriole Park before the All-Star break. It's today the closeout of a three-game series against Tampa Bay. Today, the Orioles trying to avoid what would be a third consecutive notch in the loss column. Now, Jim Hunter's got a very special guest when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
On a worn and muggy Sunday afternoon at Camden Yards, Birds complete this three-game homestand, looking to salvage one game in this three-game series with the Rays. And today for the Orioles, another edition of their military appreciation program. And we will visit with Master Sergeant Larry Broadwater, who is a member of the 450th Civil Affairs Battalion Airborne Detachment 7. That battalion soon will be deploying to the Middle East. Master Sergeant Larry Broadwater after this on the Orioles Radio Network. The Orioles conclude this very brief three-game homestand today, finale against Tampa Bay, and it is Military Appreciation Weekend here at the ballpark as the Orioles continue their program that they run throughout the year. And visiting with Master Sergeant Larry Broadwater of the U.S. Army Reserve. Now, Larry, what fascinates me about the Reserve is you volunteer, and you're about to deploy again to go back to the Middle East, having already served there. Why is it that it matters so much to you and you care so much about remaining involved, even though you know when you go there you'll be in harm's way?
Honestly, it's just supporting the guys that are next to us. You know, over the years I've gained such a knowledge, a base of knowledge. I've seen a lot of things, had a lot of experiences, and I like to pass that on to the junior guys. So, you know, that's going to be coming to an end here very shortly as I'm getting a little long in the tooth. But so hopefully, you know, I'll be able to pass the torch on to these guys.
Is that experience that you bring very helpful to the younger guys, especially those who may be going through this for the first time? Because I got to believe there's no way to prepare what may occur over there.
Oh, no, there's stuff. I mean, there's ways. I mean, we can do a lot of things in training. We can prepare for it. But until that first bullet flies, you don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know what's going to react. And then every situation's different. So that's where the experience comes into play. And again, hopefully I can pass on that torch and go on about my merry business.
Now, what exactly does your battalion provide when you go over?
Well, what we do is we try to mitigate any civilian involvements as opposed to military operations. So if it has anything to do with civilians on the ground there, you know, whether it's Kuwaitis, Iraqis, Afghanis, that's where the civil affairs gets involved.
So basically, it's almost as if you're a military police, but it's a little bit more involved than that, where you're trying to keep everything in order.
In a way, yeah. We don't do a whole lot of policing, but we do try to keep order. We try to take care of and make sure that no civilians are in harm's way as much as we possibly can. I mean, obviously, that's impossible, but that's part of what we do.
Now, this is a big holiday weekend, the 4th of July, as the country celebrates its independence. Do you feel that the American people are behind the military as much as they should be?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, everywhere I go, I mean, if I have a camouflage hat on, people are thanking me everywhere I go, and it's amazing. I wish it would have been the same thing for the Vietnam guys. You know, I know they get it now, but it's just not the same. But no, I absolutely feel that the American people are behind us 100%.
Well, I really feel that they should be, because it's so selfless what you do. You don't have to do this. I mean, this is a fully volunteer military, and yet it is the strongest military in the world because of volunteers like you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And all of us. I mean, we're some cases triple volunteers. You know, we volunteer to come in. We volunteer to do this every month, which it's even more. Everybody thinks it's one weekend a month, but it's way more than that. And then, you know, we're an airborne unit on top of it. So all these guys volunteer to jump out of airplanes as well. So, yeah.
I've heard the slogan, never underestimate the heart of a volunteer. Do you feel that?
Oh, absolutely. Every day I go to that unit, and it's funny because, like I said, I'm getting a little long in the tooth, and it's about time to retire, but it's hard letting go. My wife's a little smarter on it than I am, you know, so I don't want to let go. She knows I don't want to let go, so we'll see what happens.
Let me ask you what it means to you and the other members of the military, whether in your battalion or not, the Orioles and how they go out of their way to appreciate and recognize the military.
Oh, it's huge. You know, it's funny. My wife reached out to the organization, and they've been just so forthcoming. I mean, we were just trying to get something together, you know, a little group thing together for all the soldiers and their families so they could all meet. And, I mean, these guys busted out with a suite, you know, fully catered, everything. I mean, they've just been awesome. They're, you know, I can't say enough. I can't thank them enough.
Well, the thing about the organization is they are so community-minded, and what I appreciate my 21st year in the organization is it's not just, oh, this is a holiday, we better do something. I mean, this is a year-round presence, and I really think it filters down.
It absolutely is year-round, and we feel it, believe me.
So as you enjoy the game today, do you forget what is to come? Because I know you're going to deploy soon, and when you deploy, who knows what?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Matter of fact, I'll probably be working throughout the game. I'll be answering emails and everything else. Hopefully my guys will get to have a good time and, you know, relax a little bit, not worry about what's coming.
Is it difficult to be the leader?
Yes and no. I mean, it's a fulfilling feeling, but at the same time, it is. It's a full-time job.
Well, we wish you the best, Larry. Hopefully nothing will happen over there, which is always the best scenario. But God bless you for your service, and please be safe over there. I appreciate the visit.
Will do. Thank you, sir.
All right, that's Master Sergeant Larry Broadwater. He is a member of the 450th Civil Affairs Battalion Airborne Detachment 7. And that unit, they are reservists. They'll be deploying to the Middle East very soon. And today, that group is part of the Military Appreciation Program by the Orioles. They will be treated to the game in a suite, fully catered suite. And prior to the game today, they had a chance to visit with Darren O'Day and Brad Brock. So a nice gesture by the Orioles. And Larry Broadwater, we thank him for his time. Master Sergeant on the verge of them deploying to the Middle East. We're at Camden Yards today as the Orioles and Rays close out this three-game series. Birds in this tough stretch of 13 out of 16 on the road leading up to the All-Star break. Today, the Orioles trying to salvage one game in this three-game series. Beautiful day for baseball. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards in the win column today. Back in the win column. As they win the finale against Tampa Bay, they won by a score 7-1. It was all about a couple of early home runs. It was all about Kevin Gausman here today, the starting pitcher. Kevin Gausman, 7 scoreless innings. He allowed just 2 hits, couple of walks. He wound up with 9 strikeouts. He throws 112 pitches. And over his last 2 starts, now Kevin Gausman, who's won back-to-back starts, he has gone 12 1/3 consecutive scoreless innings. Now, today, he got off to a pretty good start. And now the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him on a changeup. Kevin Gausman, pretty good start. Strikes out the first man he sees. And he does it on 3 pitches. There you go. A 1-2-3 first. Then he walked the leadoff hitter in the second inning. They threw a wild pitch. So all of a sudden, Tampa Bay, in a 0-0 game, had a runner at second base with nobody out. But then Souza struck out, Beckham struck out, and he got Featherston into a fly ball, and that was that. In the third, he got him 1-2-3 with a couple of strikeouts. And then 0-0, bottom 3, Joseph, a leadoff single. Tejada was hit by a pitch, and Rickard laid down a sacrifice bunt. And that's when Smith came up to hit, and that's when Alex Cobb, the Tampa Bay starter, helped the Orioles defensively.
And the 2-1 pitch is swung on and hit right back to Cobb. He swung at a pitch outside. Cobb turns, throws it high, and over the head of Morrison and down the line. Joseph scores, Tejada to third, and Smith ends up at second base. An easy play, and Cobb threw it away. So the Orioles get a break and a 1-0 lead.
Well, there you go. And then after that, Manny Machado came up to hit. Manny, who in the first inning had grounded to short. And at that point, he was 1 for his last 21. Well, in the third inning, he kind of ended all that misery.
And the 0-1 pitch, swinging a high fly ball left field. Back it goes. Back it goes. It is gone! It's out of here for Machado. A 3-run shot, and the Orioles have a 4-0 lead. Manny Machado breaks out with authority. His first home run since June 20th, and it's a big one. A 3-run blast, and it's 4-0 Baltimore in the third.
So there you go, Manny Machado, despite the fact that he's having a subpar season, if you look at the batting average, he does have 16 home runs now. He's tied with Scope for the club lead, and now he's got 41 RBIs. In the fourth inning, Trumbo came up as the leadoff hitter.
And the 0-1 has swung on and hit deep left field. That ball is a chance. Back it goes, and that ball is gone. Another liner. Trumbo hits it out. And the Orioles have a 5-0 lead on their 33rd multi-home run game of the year.
Well, there you go. And the way Kevin Gausman was pitching, that was plenty at that point. Gausman, fifth inning, he walked the leadoff hitter. But then he got Featherston on a fly ball. He got Sucre on a ground out. And then he went to work on Peter Borges. Kevin Gausman, this will be his 82nd pitch. And here it comes. Fastball, got him looking. Strike three called. And again, he caught the outside corner at the knees. That was a perfect pitcher's pitch. Gausman picks up his sixth strikeout. And again, the Rays come up empty with a runner at second base. So there you go. In fact, Tampa Bay, the entire game today, they went 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Well, it was Seth Smith, big double, picked up two more RBIs in the bottom of the seventh inning. By then, Kevin Gausman, in the seventh inning, he had struck out Souza, he had struck out Beckham, and after Featherston grounded out after that, eventually, the game would go to the ninth inning. Givens had gone to scoreless. Givens came in and gave up a home run to Sucre with the bases empty in the eighth inning. And eventually, Miguel Castro got the game's last three outs. After a two-out double by Souza, that's when Beckham came up to hit, and that's when the game would end. Beckham will pop up here behind first base. There's Mancini drifting back, and now Scope comes over. Mancini gets out of the way. Scope makes the catch, and the ballgame is over. And the Orioles back in the win column. They salvaged the finale against Tampa Bay. Kevin Gausman today, 7 scoreless innings. And the Orioles win this thing by a score of 7-1. And now we hit the road again as we head toward the All-Star break in the win column. Yeah, Milwaukee tomorrow.
Welcome back to the lovely totals.
And Jim Hunter with more post-game information. He's got Buck Showalter and maybe another guest as we continue at Camden Yards on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards, where the Orioles salvaged the finale of this three-game weekend series as they beat Tampa Bay by a final of 7-1. And the storyline of this game, without a doubt, was Kevin Gausman, who put together back-to-back outstanding starts. He has won 2 in a row for the first time this year, winning back-to-back starts. Let's hear from the skipper now. We'll head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
That was fun to watch. Very much like Gaz's outing. That was impressive. I thought the seventh inning was the most impressive inning he had. You could tell he was going to carry good stuff. His secondary stuff was really good. It's probably the best secondary stuff he's had this year.
We talked about the statistical midpoint.
Pardon?
And the statistical midpoint was today. Well, today was. I mean, statistically, 81 games.
I thought we were one short, really?
Yeah, 81.
That's how often I'm looking at standings and games played.
But, you know, you're leaving here, you're not coming back for almost 2 weeks. And
Manny
homers and Gausman pitches the way he did. And I know you've talked about, you know, you get guys like that going in the second half, this could be a different story. Was it, you know, I mean, when you look at that, do you think, you know, that this could be the start of something?
I hope so. I hope so. I'm not one that y'all know says, okay, this happens, so everything's going to just fall in place. But it's something that has to happen for us to get where we need to get. You know, it's not just Kevin. It's all our guys and some starters that are down in Norfolk that have to take place of people having babies, you know. So, you know, I've said many times about the Norfolk and Bowie rosters, how we have to do it. So, but, you know, Kevin, I thought he kind of built on his last outing, too. He was pretty good last time. So we know he's capable of better. You know, we're basically a 5-city road trip we're in the middle of. You know, Tampa and Toronto and here and, you know, back out to Milwaukee and Minnesota, and then I guess it'd be 6 because everybody's going to another town there. So it certainly challenges your packing skills. We'll see. But, you know, had a good day out of Chris today. Zach feels good. You know, JJ's making progress. So, you know, we'll try to keep looking at it as half full.
I'm kind of going on that, too. When you answered Genz's question earlier about the midway point, about that, the tempo and how much that's affected by starting pitching. When Kevin goes out and it pitches the way he does,
is
that the way?
9 or 10 pitches first inning?
Yeah,
I thought that set the tone. I think a little part of the game, and I'll get back to what you is, you know, Joey Sackbun and then running the ball out. It may sound like a little thing that's, why should that be something that stands out, but it makes a pitcher hurry. Guys bunt that ball and start trotting down there. He looks at the ball and thinks about it and what have you, and you know, guys that run down the line peripherally, you know he's moving, and you speed up your clock a little bit. I've said many times that guys make mistakes up here when their clock gets sped up. And the great players don't have it affect them when the game speeds up. But what was your original question?
Just the notion that, you know, how much.
No, set the tone.
Yeah, the tone, just the tone throughout the game.
You know, it's something that, you know, we've talked to the pitchers about, and, you know, you can only have great tempo if you're pitching pretty well. There are some exceptions, but I think some of the crispness to the defense is directly related to it. Kevin really, you know, we're on and off the field and three hitters in the first inning, and everybody comes in and goes, okay, because, you know, this is four straight day games, five or six cities that we're visiting here in the last 2 weeks. I mean, this is a challenging time, and we've talked about it. This is a time you got to separate yourself.
What's he doing in the last two starts of the
evening? Breaking ball has been a little crisper. A couple little things that Roger and him have done. I'm not going to get into that and say, well, you know, Roger's not one of those guys, all my pitching coaches, to go out there and conduct a press conference after somebody pitches well, because the next time they go out there and don't pitch well, you can't find them. You know, that's not what hitting coaches, pitching coaches, you know, if people could walk around and see the work that goes on, they would wonder why guys don't pitch it, you know, pitch like Kevin does every time. But it's hard. The other team's good, too. And but sooner or later, guys revert to their track record if you stay with them, if they're healthy.
On that subject, Machado's home run, he's had a tough first half average-wise, but he does still have some power numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Are you okay with, you know, with...
Yeah, you know, Manny, believe me, Manny's had a lot of different emotions this first half of the season, you know, and through it, there are quite a few people would love to have everything that he, you know, the defense he's played, the runs he's driven in, the power numbers, with the exception of the batting average. But, you know, I've talked to him a lot about that. That's something that doesn't happen overnight. You know, you can't try to get three or four hits the first at bat. You just, it's kind of a tick, tick, tick thing. You know, you just try to continue to have quality bats. Think about this. You know, he's probably leading our club in balls hit hard that have been caught. And his first at bat, he hits a sharp ball right off the middle, and the guy makes a great play on it. The mental toughness comes from not going, here we go again. It comes from going back up there and hitting a ball on the screws for a three-run homer, which, you know, was a key offensive blow of the game.
So Manny Machado with his 16th home run, and as Buck just mentioned, it was a big blow. It turned a 1-0 lead into a 4-0 lead in the third, and the Orioles were on their way to a 7-1 win over the Tampa Bay Rays.